We're going to read from Luke 19. We're going to read verses 1 down to verse 10. So let's all hear the word of God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. We're going to end our reading there at verse 10. And let's all pray just a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'd help us as we look at this passage. Lord, we thank you for preserving it in your word. We pray that you'd help us to glean from it tonight things that we can take home with us, Lord, we pray, things that we can apply to our lives. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Being in a lost condition is no fun, is it? You ever been lost out on the road? Probably before you had a cell phone, you know, or GPS, you get lost. You're out and you're not knowing where you are. I remember one time on my bicycle, I used to go on rides and just go to a place maybe not familiar and just ride and see where I end up. And one time it was so hot and I ended up so far away and I needed a vantage point. And thankfully I saw these two smokestacks, not the Limerick power plant I live near by now, but the one Crombie power plant that I lived near growing up. And that was always when we were out, whether we were out on out somewhere in the car or when I was a little boy, I'd always look for those for those smokestacks. And that day on my bike, I saw that's the direction I need to go to get home. So being lost is not knowing one's whereabouts or unable to be found or a missed opportunity or something that cannot be recovered. These are just some definitions I saw, I looked up on the internet there just to define this word lost. It's also in the Bible many more times used as the same word for lost as perish or destroy. We often think of the other parables earlier on in Luke, the lost of the lost things, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost, the prodigal son, or the lost son. And we often see them as, you know, our condition, and rightly so, before we're saved, this lost condition. And this is a condition that applies to each one of us, that before we're saved, we were lost. And then Christ found us. We're going to look today at this this man Zacchaeus and his account here that's preserved for us in God's will. He was lost. He was in a lost condition. He was a sinner. He was not a moral man, and he was rich. Christ found him. He was lost, and he was found. Perhaps before Christ was coming to town, he completely did not know his condition before God. Or like many of us, he didn't care. He had that ignorance and apathy, right? Didn't know, didn't care. Perhaps ourselves were that way at one time, and then Christ found us. Perhaps he felt he was unrecoverable and lost, so he wanted to see this one Jesus. So this man, Zacchaeus, our text really is just going to be those 10 verses. We're going to look at the whole text kind of in a devotional type way tonight and see this salvation of Zacchaeus, one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the story of Zacchaeus finds itself here in the midst. I don't think it's an accident where it is in the Bible. You have the story of the Pharisee and the publican, and then Christ receiving the little children, and then you also have the rich young ruler just before this, and the blind beggar. And you see that in the cases of the publican, the blind man, and the children, we don't really see how they came to the knowledge of truth or the proper view of God. But in Zacchaeus' case, we kind of do. We see how the steps he was making to see Christ, to find out who Christ was. Because it says there in verse number 3, it says, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." Okay, he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who this man was. What was he all about? Why was he so special? Why were all these people following him around? And of course, you know the story. The story from Sunday school. You know, he's short of stature. He's a little guy, and he needed to climb up in a tree to see the Savior. And we have this picture in our minds. And of course, that's what happened. He climbed up a tree to see the Savior. But there's much more than that. He needed to have a proper view of Christ. He needed a higher view. Down at that road level where he was, he wasn't going to be able to see the Savior. Okay, he was down at road level in a crowd, right? He was in a condition that was not a good place to see the Savior. He was down on, and you think of a sinner on the broad road. That's immediately what comes to my mind anyway, is the broad road that leads to destruction. Zacchaeus is there. He's in this roadway or in this place. There's so many people around, and he could not see the Savior. He's not going to see him coming. He's not going to see him going. He's not going to see him at all. And Christ perhaps won't even see him. You know, of course, Christ knows everyone, but that's what he's thinking in his mind. So for the sinner to see where he's at is very important. To see yourself in a position, if you're unsaved and you're down on the broad road, you're down this road and you're down in a crowd of people, a crowd perhaps of unbelievers, it's not a good place to see Christ. It's not a good place to get a proper view. You need a higher view, right? You need a higher view of reality. You need a higher view of spirituality, a higher view of God, and a higher view of Christ. Okay, so we need to have that in order to see Christ, who he is, to have this proper view. So what did Zacchaeus do here? Well, he evaluated his vantage point. Okay, he sought out to see Christ, who he was. So what did he do to better his position? Well, first he ran away. He ran ahead, right? He got ahead. He evaluated his vantage point. He said, "I'm not going to see anything from here. Perhaps all of us have been in a situation, but maybe at a parade or at a ball game or something, and you're like, well, I'm not going to see anything here. I'm going to get away from the crowd, get in another place. And that's what he did. He evaluated his situation, evaluated his vantage point, and said, well, I'm not going to see anything from here. I'm going to get away. I'm going to get away from this crowd. And he, what's it say there? It says there that he ran before, verse 4, ran before. So he runs ahead, gets away from this crowd. And that's what we need to do. If we're, even as Christians, we need to evaluate where we're at, evaluate our vantage point. Perhaps we're not seeing Christ where we're at. And maybe we need to get away. It's not only a message for the unbeliever, those that are lost, it's those that are Christ as well. We need to see him properly. We need to evaluate where we're at in our lives. And if we need to, maybe, step away and get ahead of the people or the crowd that we find ourselves in. I know sometimes at work, you just have to get away from people. It's just the talk, the filthy talk and things. It's like sometimes I'm just afraid a bolt of lightning is going to come and hit this place, where I work. It's so wicked at times. And other times it's very gracious, but in some ways, you just got to get away and get in quiet time, quiet place, and get away and run away from that crowd. And if you're a sinner, if you're lost, that's what you got to do. You're never going to get a proper view of Christ if you're in a place where you're not going to be able to see him. So you need to evaluate your vantage point of where you're at and run ahead. Run away from worldliness and sin and get away from that position of where you're at. So seeking Christ, if we're going to have this higher view, this proper view, so we want to get away from the crowd. We want to get away from those that are damaging to us and and gain back some of those lofty thoughts perhaps that we used to have of Christ, of the scriptures. Sometimes prayer in the scriptures may be seem like a work. There's no joy in it anymore. Well, perhaps you're down in the crowd, down there in a place where you can't see Christ anymore, and you need to run ahead and get out of that situation. Perhaps the joy is gone. Your zeal is gone. Perhaps your witness is ineffective, or even unbelievable, or lacking zeal. These things that we need to get away sometimes from the crowd. Get away from that crowd of people that perhaps that we're with, or these thoughts of the world, or through whatever that crowd is. It might not be people. It might be things of this world. It might be our work. It might be just the thoughts in our head at times, and these things that we spend maybe too much time with other things of this world, and less desire to spend time with God and to be useful in God's witness and useful in his business. So we need to, from time to time, even as believers, evaluate our position, evaluate our vantage point. So Zacchaeus, seeing he was down at road level, he had no way to see. He ran before. He gets out of this situation that he's in. He's not being able to see Christ. So you see like the gift of faith here working in Zacchaeus's testimony here. It's took some thought. It's important for me to see this person. I want to see who he is. I want to see who this Christ is. So he's preparing himself to be able to see him better. So he runs ahead. He wants to see truly who he was. The Spirit is, if we desire to see Christ, to see who he is, if we're looking for him, it's the Spirit moving in our hearts, giving us that desire to go on with him, to find him, to find that proper vantage point. So what does he do next? So he runs ahead, and he finds this sycamore tree, and he climbs up this tree. So what does he do? He's elevating his view, right? He's going to get higher to see where he's at. If you're down, sometimes if you're ever hiking in a place that, not like Valley Forge Park, but in a huge place, and you need to see where you're at, you're not sure what valley you're stuck in. Maybe you need to get in a higher place to see where you're at, or on a higher hill to see where you're at and where you're going to go from there. And that's what Zacchaeus was doing here. He was wanted to get up higher and elevate his view. And if you're an unbeliever here tonight, then that's what you need to do. If you're going to seriously seek out the Savior, you need to elevate your view, because he's righteous. He is so holy. He's a perfect Son of God and Son of Man. You know, that's one of the Son of Man is one of the beautiful, most beautiful names of Christ you can think of. The Son of Man, he's one of us, one of Adam. He's a son of Adam. And it's used almost 200 times, I think, in the Bible as a whole. And I think about 30 or so times in the Gospels. The Son of Man, it's one of the most used names of Christ. And he uses it himself to describe himself, that he is the Son of Man. He's one of us, but he's the Son of God as well. We need this elevated view. He's not just a mere man or a good teacher or a good example, someone to emulate. That's not enough. That would just be some other great teacher. You know, there's other teachers, people that have lived in the past, and perhaps they're pretty spectacular. But they're not worth any emulation compared to Christ. He has this title, Son of Man, the Son of God, the perfect righteous one, the one that came to this world in such a humble way, into a family that loved him and cared for him. He's one of us, Son of Man. But when he comes again, he's not going to come in that manger. He's not going to come as a baby in a manger. He's going to come as the righteous judge of the earth. He's going to be the King of glory. It says every eye is going to see him. That's the type of view. That's the type of view we need to see Christ. We need to elevate our view of who he is and what he's done. Not only is he righteous one, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He's the one that came to pay our penalty for sin. And that's something that we really need to think about, what it costs Christ to pay for our sins, for all of us to spend an eternity in hell. The equivalent of that, Christ was able to drink that judgment dry. And in turn, he takes our sins, and we are given his righteousness. That's the serious fact of the gospel, is we need this righteousness applied to us. Because if we don't, we're going to have to deal with him without any righteousness. We're going to have our own standing, and we will not be able to stand at Christ's throne in that day. He owes us nothing. In that regard, if we stand in our own righteousness, we will fall. We will be gone. We'll be banished forever. We're still on that broad road that leads to destruction if we're not looking at Christ in this proper way. Without Christ, we're lost, right? We're lost. We don't have a way. We're in a hopeless situation and in great danger. So Zacchaeus, he gets to a place where he can see Christ. He's elevated up in a tree, away from the street, and away in a place where he will see the Savior. And that's where we need to be. We need to be in a positive place to see Christ, right? We're not going to see him in the street or with unsaved people hanging around with the gang. We're not going to see Christ there. We need to get away from that and be in a positive place. whether it's a church or a Christian group or other believers that you're friends with, times of prayer or worship or special times to be with God's people. That's a positive place to see Christ. That's where we need to be. And not only see him, but see more of him, right? That's a proper place to be. Be in prayer, too, is another proper place to be, in the prayer closet, to spend time with God and just be honest before him, lay your heart bare before him. That's another great place to be. And along with that prayer, to spend time in his word, to look at it, to read it, to seek to understand more of it, and to seek out God's will through it for your life. That's a beautiful place to be as well, to seek the Lord in God's word. So that's another positive place to be, in God's word, because at ground level, we're going to miss out on all this. We're going to miss out on opportunities to see him. And unbeliever, you're going to miss out if he passes by, if you're not prepared. If no preparation is made, if the getting away from the crowd and elevating, if that's preparation's not made, we're going to miss him when he passes us by. So he elevates his position, or evaluates his position. He elevates his vantage point, and Christ comes and calls him to come down and to abide in his house. What an exciting thing for that to happen there too. Zacchaeus, there he's like thinking, I'm just going to get a chance to see this man as he walks by. And we see Jesus come to the bottom of that tree and look up. And you just think of that look. Think of seeing Christ, the Son of Man in the flesh, looking at you, putting his eyes upon you. I was thinking today, that would be a great study, to the looks of Christ. And I could only think of one, and it was just off the top of my head, why I was thinking about this, was the look Christ had for Peter when he sinned against, when he denied him. Remember that look? And he looked upon him, and Peter wept bitterly. The powerful look of Christ is something, must have been something to behold in the days of his flesh. So he looked up and he saw him, that look of the Son of God. It really must have been something for Zacchaeus to see that. And what does Christ tell him? He says, and Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And not only is he going to come and talk to Zacchaeus, he's saying, Zacchaeus, let's eat at your house tonight. Let's go to your place. He's going to abide at his house for a time. And Zacchaeus is obedient, right? He's obedient to that call. He's obedient to that look. And he comes down joyfully, it says there. It says in the next verse, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What a time Zacchaeus comes down to see the Savior. Now he doesn't have to run away and look up or get up in a tree. He's right there face to face with him, looking at the Savior, and they're going to his house to have a time together. And that's what Christ does. He seeks out those lost sheep of the house of Israel. He seeks them out and finds them. And even though perhaps they're not looking for him in the way that that Zacchaeus is here, Zacchaeus is kind of, you know, he's up in a tree. He wants to get a glimpse of him. But Christ is seeking those people out. You think of those others that he saved. I always think of that woman that just wanted to touch his garment. She had faith. She knew there was something special about him. I'm going to touch his garment. And she spent all her money on all that other medicine. But she's like, if I can just touch this man's garment, I'm going to be healed. And sure enough, she touched his garment and she was healed. Christ found her as well. What beautiful pictures we have in the gospel. in the Gospels here, in these, in the parables, and also in the stories of Christ's action. So here, so Zacchaeus obeys, and he comes down joyfully. So his faith along the way has prepared him to be in that proper position, and that faith is rewarded. Okay, and of course here, the people are murmuring against Christ, saying if he, you know, he's going to eat with this guy, you know, does he know who he is? It says that he is, there in the beginning of our reading, that he was chief among the publicans and was very rich. And he must have had not a very good reputation either there, because they were saying he's a sinner. He's going to eat with this sinner. And verse 8 says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now here he's getting, there's this murmuring going on. But what's he doing? Zacchaeus isn't talking to the crowd. He's talking to the Lord here. He says unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord." He's telling the Lord, "I'm going to repent my sin. I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor, and if I took anything from anybody, I'm going to restore them fourfold." He's going to restore the goods that perhaps have been taken away, that were not honestly gained. And he says, "Lord," he confesses these things. And that kind of reminded me back a couple of pages to that rich young ruler, right? What was the rich young ruler? He's a very moral guy, you know, upstanding person in the community. He knew the scriptures, knew the law, took care of things. He's responsible. And Christ tells him, yet we're back in in Luke 18, and verse 22, this is what he says to the rich young ruler. He says, "Yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." So he didn't make those demands to Zacchaeus, did he? Zacchaeus just says, "Hey, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor, and I'm going to restore those." There wasn't these great demands, because Christ knew Zacchaeus had faith. Okay, the rich young ruler, he was relying on his good works. He was relying on what he did and what he was doing. And he was coming to the Savior in not a faithful way. He wasn't coming with that faith that Christ had something that he needed, that I had to have, like Zacchaeus did. So there wasn't the demands there on Zacchaeus. And there's not, and it's because Zacchaeus came as faith, and that's what God wants us to come in faith. You see, there's such small differences in characters in the Bible. This rich young ruler and Zacchaeus, you know, there's the differences is the faith in their story. And it also, back even a little further back, the publican and the Pharisee, right? The story there of them praying. Right, the Pharisee, what did he look? He looked up into heaven with his eyes open, praying. And what did the publican do? He stood afar off. He smote his chest, looked down at the ground, and asked the Lord to have mercy on him. That's the difference, is faith. So here is Zacchaeus. He made that preparation. He wanted to see the Lord. He wanted to see who he was. He was excited to see him. Ran ahead, got away from the crowd, got up in that tree, and Christ found him and looked at him. It says, "Zacchaeus, come down. We're gonna eat at your place. We're gonna abide at your house tonight." What an exciting time it would have been for Zacchaeus, and he had that faith. They had the faith to believe in Christ and to trust in Him. So, where does that faith come from? Well, it comes from the Lord. Let's read just as we close tonight in a couple minutes. Let's read a verse from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. very familiar verse. Verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This is the nature of faith, right? It's impossible to please God without it. And it's we got to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. That's what we believe in. We believe that God is. He's true and trustworthy in everything and what he says in his word. And that faith is going to be rewarded one day. And you know what? We couldn't make something like that up. If we, you know, it's something God gives us. Like I just, you know, there's our faith. You know, I think of myself. There's so many more better people than me. Billion, you know, many more. Why did God choose me? Why did he give me that faith to seek him out? And that's where we need to be. We need to be humble and ask the Lord and just trust in him and thank him for that faith that we have. Because that's what sets us apart from that rich young ruler or that Pharisee, is to know that God gives us this. It's not something that we can acquire. It's something that God has to give us. And how do we get it? Well, in Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So that's being in that proper place, right? Being under the word, and being under the word and hearing it, okay? Hearing the word of God, being at church or around other believers, or maybe listening to it through the internet, being under the hearing of the word of God. That's where faith comes from. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know, I always warn my Sunday school class, the opposite is true. You know, unbelief comes from not hearing the word of God, but comes from hearing the things of the world, from hearing, you know, your unbelieving friends talking, or comes from hearing worldly music or things that you shouldn't be listening to or looking at. That's where unbelief comes from. But faith, belief in God's word comes by hearing the word of God and being under that hearing of the word of God, putting yourself in a positive position. Remember, we looked at that earlier, being around friends and loved ones that are believers that are going to encourage you. Even having if you're a younger person, sometimes it's good to have a Christian mentor if you're away at college or away somewhere away from your parents, someone you're accountable to, and it's going to check up on you and ask you how you're doing spiritually. You know, some of those things, those things are important to build up our faith. So whether we're unbelievers tonight, if you're lost, I beg you to come to Christ, to look to him, to put yourself in a position to see him, to get away from that broad road and find and get a better vantage point to see the Lord. And if you're a believer, thank the Lord for that faith you have tonight. Thank him for what he's given to you, and thank him for grafting you in to the family of God. And I'm just going to read just those last verses there that we read in chapter 19, verse 9 says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Amen. We're going to end the message tonight there, and let's ask the Lord to bless the rest of our evening. And do pray that you have, I don't know if you have time off tomorrow from work, but think of these things. Think about perhaps making some progress in your reading and prayer life, perhaps renewing some fellowship with God, renewing your commitment to Him if you're a believer. And if you're not, if you're an unbeliever, maybe get in a quiet place and seek these things out. Seek out the Lord. And if myself or Wayne or Dr. Pollock you could call him. If any of us could help you, we'd love to talk to you. So let's all pray now and ask the Lord to bless us tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this one, that this testimony of Zacchaeus that you saved for us here in your word. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for Christ just seeking out those that are lost, Lord. We're so thankful for the Savior. We're thankful for his goodness and his grace. We pray for the day that we will see him face to face. What a day that will be for every believer, Lord, to see the face of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Savior. We thank you for all he's done for us, for all he's done for your people. Lord, be with us this the rest of this night. Be with your people tomorrow. We pray. We thank you for the country we live in. We thank you for the Memorial Day holiday. We do pray that we would spend it wisely. We thank you for those that gave themselves for the freedoms we enjoy, Lord, even the freedoms of gathering together and worship in this country. So we do pray you would bless in these days. Remember all our families, we pray. Bless us tonight. Remember these thoughts and words. Help us to meditate upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.